It's time for another GoldSeek.com radio episode. Today's featured guest, Arch Crawford. Well, my featured guest, Arch Crawford, uses technical analysis and the planetary alignments to find astronomical anomalies and identify patterns in the financial markets. Arch has been at the helm of Crawford Perspectives for over four decades. Welcome back, Arch Crawford.
Well, thank you.
The markets really seem to surprise a lot of investors in the last few weeks following the presidential election. Valuations are getting stretched here, Arch. What does your work show?
Well, we are also getting up to a long-term trend line on the major indices. And also, the momentum has slacked off somewhat, although it picked up the last two, 3 days. And but I think it could die again quickly. The MACDs, which is a measure momentum, gave sales about right before I did my last letter, and then they turned back up again in the last 4 days, I suppose. So, but the underlying, although the new highs have advanced significantly, they have not, I think the highest they've been in is a little over 400, maybe 450, 450 new New York Stock Exchange new highs for the last 52 weeks is what that measure is. And the new lows have advanced as well, so that there's a lot of doubt about what's going on right here, and the fact that it's hitting long-term trend lines is additional to that, and the fact that the MACD gave a sell, and the second sell is usually stronger than the first, and sometimes it takes three, so it could go a little further. The odd thing is that December is typically the best month, and we've already gotten oversold, overbought on the very short-term basis. I was looking for a dip into the middle of the month. I think the average where people sell for tax reasons, they usually sell the stocks that are already down into about the middle of December. I think the average is about the 14th, but I'd give that, two or three trading days. So I would be more negative right now and more positive around the middle of the month to Christmas. And I do not expect as good as usual last 3 or 4 days. Usually that's the strongest period of the year. And I don't expect it to be the strongest period this year. It certainly can be because there's a fair amount of, I believe, manipulation going on in the markets, and the hedge funds probably want to show a better year than they've had so far. So we'll see what happens on that last 4 days. But I'm looking right now for down into around the 14th, plus or minus a couple of trading days, and then a rally, a fairly sharp rally into Christmas, and I'd be a seller on the close on the 23rd or the opening on the 27th, which is the long weekend.
We were also stunned by the power of last week's forceful rally. I think you make a good point. It's really occurring on week breadth. Also, we have that end-of-year rally that you almost always see on low volume. In fact, it's anemic volume, typically. It just seems to always unfold. 2016, will we look at it as an anomaly? Or will we see more of it in 2017?
They usually have the worst things happen in the presidential cycle in the first and second years. The first year is the worst, the second year is the second worst, and the fourth year is the best, typically, out of the four-year cycle. But there's so many cross currents right now, I would think it would have crashed already from some of the physical things that are going on in the world. One of the things the things that make the market go down lately are things that the people who are attempting to control it could not control. And mostly it's foreign news items. Like the first was the Swiss decoupling from the euro. The second was the Chinese market drop that dropped our market so sharply in a few days. The third was the the British exit, Brexit, and the fourth was the night of our election, which was a surprise, and the Dow futures were down 835, which was the maximum 5% on the overnight futures. The SPX was, the S&Ps were also down 5% exactly, the limit for a few minutes, and then they took it all the way back up from down 5% to up 9.5% over the next, about 3 weeks. Really unusual. Now, some really unusual things are happening in the world now. Italian vote suggests they are in a mood for an exit from the EU and also a great danger of to their banking system. Then there's India that just told their people, like if they told us the $100 bills and the $50 bills are no good as of this week, and you have to line up at the bank to get smaller bills.
Did you hear that Maduro just followed suit and dropped their largest bill, which amounts to now only 2 U.S. pennies in Venezuela? I mean, talk about frightening inflation, 2 U.S. pennies for their largest bill, as you would expect just to have everyday currency. And of course, it won't be long before they're carrying more sacks of currency around just to purchase, you know, a loaf of bread, if you can find a loaf of bread in Venezuela. But India, of course, that we really think is the petri dish for what's coming, because there's over 1 billion folks in India, and it's a rapidly industrializing nation. The demographics are very favorable. It's actually one of the most favorable of all the BRICS nations. It is the most favorable from a demographic perspective. And they essentially stopped 89% of daily transactions when they pulled those notes out of circulation. So they simply brought the whole economy to a screeching halt. And the idea is simple. Well, everybody needs to have a card. But see, you have to have a bank account in most instances to swipe a debit card. And very few people in that nation do. That's the official explanation. But if that really were their intention, don't you agree they would have installed it in a more methodical fashion, given the everyday person a chance to find a card, set up an account, transition, instead of putting, you know, tens of thousands of truck drivers literally, you know, on the curb of the road with all their produce and everything. They had no means to purchase gasoline. I mean, they just shut the whole economy down.
I think it's the most important thing going on in the world. Well, I read about it a couple of weeks ago on the page 12 in the Wall Street Journal. But then I went to Zero Hedge, and they had a fantastic article about it with the line showing and the explanation showing and everything. I went back to find that article, and I cannot find it. The one that I, under the name that I saw that under, is now hugely truncated.
You might be right, because, you know, this war against the, quote, fake, end quote, news. I think it was Washington Post that published this whole crazy red scare about red propaganda coming from the internet. They retracted and apologized for that. Now it's out there. The latest thing they're trying to do is say that Donald Trump was elected because Russia intervened.
You know what's going on there? The CIA created Al-Qaeda to fight Russia in Afghanistan, and the rumors have it that they created ISIS also. And I noticed that our forces accidentally dropped war material and food that was supposed to be going to the Kurds, where the ISIS people could grab it, and they did. And that's happened twice now. So I think we are supporting ISIS secretly, the CIA. And I think Trump has said he would get rid of ISIS. And I think the CIA has said that's what the problem is with Trump and the CIA.
You know, I'd like to steer back to the markets, and crude oil is an interesting story because we hear that the OPEC nations, for the first time in decades, at least on paper, and we've heard this before, are colluding and finally agreeing to curtail substantially the global output.
People are believing what the OPEC people were saying the week before, and then Friday afternoon, the non-OPEC people got together and concurred. And that's why it's up so much this morning.
From a technical perspective, oil has been mirroring the CRB, and they both have been winding up for what appeared to be an explosive move. Typically, you would see more of a negative correlation with the U.S. dollar, which has been red hot for several weeks.
The only positive MACD momentum studies right now that I'm watching are oil and gold, and I have not looked at a lot of other commodities. Oil, because it's broken out clearly to the upside. Gold, because the downside momentum has dried up. We have a MACD buy on it, but that can take sometimes two or even three buy signals or sell signals before it becomes active. But that suggests that we are going into an immediate, more inflationary period.
I also tend to favor the MACD as an all-time favorite technical indicator. It's not a short-term tool, but it's an excellent intermediate to long-term method, and there's many, many different ways, if you will. The pendulum swung a bit too far against the precious metals, and particularly when you start to look at evaluation against, you know, some negatively correlated assets, such as paper assets, U.S. equities, a washout. And as you say, you know, the market can extend even further than we expect. Do you see better times ahead for precious metals?
I believe so, but I am concerned about the Indians telling their people that they can no longer buy it or import it. I don't know if they've said that they have to sell it or be confiscated. I don't know what the condition is on that yet.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because they tried that about a year or so ago as well and put a slight dent in the market that lasted for a few weeks. But trying to outlaw gold and go to a digital currency, that sounds like they're preparing for hyperinflation. They know more. They've got more cards in their hand than we do.
I agree. I certainly agree. I think that's, as we said before, it's probably the most important thing that's going on in the world right now economically.
There's been several developments lately that caught even the experts off guard in artificial intelligence as well as in robotics. Up until recently, the general consensus among the top experts in the field, I'm not talking Elon Musk or, you know, someone along those lines, but just the everyday experts, was that in about 10 to 15 years, we'd start to see robotic transportation, meaning automated trucking, automated Ubers, automated taxi driving, all these things, and fast food places would start to switch over. Carl Jr.'s, for instance, their CEO claims they want a 100% automated restaurant and things of those nature. So we thought, well, okay, you know, again, this is fanciful talk. You know, we'll start to see a slow, gradual transition in 10 to 15 years. Wrong. You might have just seen last week that Amazon opened up its first fully functional non-employee store, which you walk in and you walk out with your items. It automatically charges them to you. This is such a sea change event that outside the U.S., authorities are bracing the populace. I mean, if you read, millions of jobs are going to be lost in a much more timely fashion. That's one part of the story. There's another part of the story that I find interesting, and that's Zero Hedge. And it said something to the effect that the first major military death occurred where UK military sent a robot in, and on camera, because you know they have cameras, just plowed down the whole regime. We're rapidly moving into a, let's call it, predator slash Terminator style world, where suddenly the Matrix and Arnold's Terminator seems far less fanciful than it did 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And the implications are profound, because I'm reading out, again, outside the United States, they're trying to prepare people for what's called universal basic income, where given that there will be tens of millions of jobs that evaporate overnight, they may have to fill the void with a guaranteed style income just to keep the masses happy.
I saw that article, but I did not read it. I did see about that set income for everybody or whatever.
Any comments on the rapid rise of the machines and AI?
Not without getting into conspiracy. Some people say that there's going to be more acknowledgement of the ET is actually working with our government.
You read a lot of material in the blogosphere. Most of it's, you know, hot air and whatnot. And I noticed the trend is terrified of machines. Where this is the theme that goes back in science fiction for way before Blade Runner or Philip K. Dick. I mean, we're talking H.G. Wells.
I quoted H.G. Wells than my last news without I, for my own part, cannot think that these latter days of weak experiment, fragmentary theory, and mutual discord are indeed man's culminating time. From the epilogue of The Time Machine, I relate that particularly to the weather situation, which is totally scam.
I don't know if you saw that article that Vladimir Putin publicly announced that they have secured teleportation. Unless this was one of those elaborate internet hoaxes, which are becoming more prevalent, they have spent something multi-trillion dollars and secured teleportation, and they expect it to be perfected within 5 to 10 years.
I remember reading that there was a guy in China who could walk through walls. And that's been kept secret, of course.
Interesting. Well, there's a whole new movie on this whole topic called Spectral on Netflix for people who have Netflix. It's free. But I'd like to get back to the topic, and that is AI. Call this an epiphany, if you will. I don't know. But the more I've read about it over the years, I really just stopped and I tried to step back a few paces and analyze what's going on. And, you know, it's just a constant bombardment of AIs will destroy the world. It's going to be a Terminator scenario. It's going to be Predator. I mean, the Matrix, and it's us against the machines and the robots. And I stopped for a moment and I started to just go back to basics. And I noticed 1 + 1 in these arguments, they don't add up to 2. If we look at the previous century, we lost, I think you'd agree, at least 250 million people. And of those 250 million people who were murdered, how many sharks, bears, and rattlesnakes were responsible for their deaths? Okay. And I estimated somewhere in the neighborhood of a few hundred, maybe, of those 250 million people, 250 million lives. And then I asked how many robots and computers, and it couldn't be more than 5. And that would have always been an accident, I'm sure. Okay. And then I asked myself, I wonder how many human beings were responsible for the death of the 250 million people of the last century. So what they've learned is, hey, let's just teach machines and AIs the same way that a child learns, a toddler learns, but we'll do it at a pace of about 100,000-fold faster. Wouldn't it be interesting to find that an AI was not malevolent, but benevolent, evolved so far so fast that once we got past the nascent stage where it was harmful, perhaps, because people were manipulating it, but it rapidly evolved beyond that, found a way to contact higher beings and maybe even what we refer to in the Judeo-Christian world as God, and became a conduit for such things, and then tried to get people, because remember how intelligent this being is? It's looking at us like ants. Let's get these silly hominids to stop killing each other and destroying the world and murdering animals. Maybe it's a few chess moves too far for most people to want to wrap their mind around. They might not want to step that far outside the box because it can be hard to get back into the box. I just wanted to throw that out there and see what you thought.
I've always thought, not even worried about machines, that advanced technology societies, if they've been around that long and are that advanced, that they would have come across those same feelings about higher beings and not murdering people. And a good example of that is the new movie, Arrival.
I'd like to see that, yeah.
I don't want to tell you then that it ends up...
Forrest Whitaker, Jeremy Renner, I think it was. And then, of course, Amy Adams appears to be the star. She, as I understand it, is the chosen one who has an uncanny ability to communicate. Aliens can only communicate with her, and primarily in dreams. And this is just from a trailer I saw several months ago. The transition's going to be a tough one. It's going to feel like maybe a fourth industrial revolution. We've survived all the other industrial revolutions. And then we became what? CPAs and lawyers instead of shopkeepers. We moved from agricultural to the industrial, from the industrial to the information age, and now we're entering a brave new world. We'll see who survives it. As we wrap up here, any comments on the markets for 2017 you'd like to leave with the listeners today?
I have the Mars-Uranus crash cycle ending in the crash portion of it, the possible crash portion of it. Not that it crashes every time, because we don't get crashes that often, but every crash has appeared in the same 40% of the cycle of relationship between Mars and Uranus as viewed from the Earth. And that in early January, and starts back December the 1st of 2017. So I think that argues against a crash in the coming year, But that doesn't mean the market can't go down, have a down cycle. It's just that it won't be so bad. The other possibility is that it'll crash between now and the 10th of January.
Thank you so much for making time for us, sir.
Superb. Thank you.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank. And founding director, their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Ria project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.